Welcome to Photography Insights, the show that goes behind the scenes and interviews people from the photography world. And today I'm finally back with a guest, woohoo! So although I enjoyed my small breakaway in the hills of England with my family, it's time to get back to podcasting again. Now this one was an unusual one for me because I did it first thing on a Sunday morning. But it was really nice to speak to my guest. Tom Ash is a very talented classical pianist, photographer, and editor of Frames magazine. I always find it really unfair how people like Tom Ash can be so talented and work across different industries like music and photography. But hey, I'm just jealous. You can see some of Tom Ash's work, where he shoots concerts, musicians and portraits, on his personal website. But I know most people are going to be more interested in his recent endeavours with the Frames magazine. Now, he has many years' experience, editorial and podcasting side as well, as he run the Fujifilm magazine for approximately 5 years. Now, he's been really working hard behind the scenes to raise awareness about this latest work of Frames magazine. And his idea was this beautifully printed magazine that really should wow people. He's getting very close, and it's actually due probably by the time you are listening to this. Now, he's also been doing this by his social media content, and he's created a lovely group on Facebook. There's a YouTube channel, there is podcasts and newsletters, and everything is getting printed in the UK, so it's definitely something worth checking out. Now, the one thing that is very different about the magazine is that it's based on a monthly subscription service alongside a lot of online content. But if you want more information on that, obviously listen to the podcast, check out his website and get subscribing. Get in there while you can. Now, in this show, we discuss things like COVID and the printed medium, mobile photography, traditional photography, inspiration from different genres, the positives of lockdown, photography bucket lists, finding your film, the personal connection, and the importance of sleep. Now, I really do enjoy talking to people like Tom Ash, who are obviously so very passionate about this, and you'll see the amount of time he spends in the Facebook group, ploughing through the amazing content that's on there. And I really do urge people to check out the group, because there are people of so many different genres and part of the photography industry in there. It is totally about anything and everything. But like he says, only post your very best content. It's not a group to be asking for feedback on things. You know that there's a chance someone might spot this, maybe he might contact you. You just don't know. So, you know, just think of that. And don't worry, post your best. It doesn't matter if it's not as good as someone else's. It might be different. And that's the thing. It's about being different to everyone. So I hope you do enjoy this one. And also, I wanted to quickly mention, please do watch out for some links appearing from myself. A couple of weeks ago, I come across something on my mobile phone. So I've been doing a little bit with mobile photography and the things you can make on it. So if you watch out on social media, or please do check out the show notes on the website, you will get to see the links to this. And I've basically created three little PDFs. The idea is these were entirely done on my mobile, and it's something I'll be writing about very soon. And obviously, I'd always like to thank the friends of the show for supporting my work. That's Steve at Chroma Camera, Pete at Static Age, and David at Film Dev. So please do check those out. Links are in the show notes, as always. let's get you started and introduce my lovely guest for the evening.
And welcome to the show, Tomáš.
Andrew, thank you so much. A pleasure to be here. We finally made it, right? We have been trying, I think, to schedule this interview for at least, I don't know, 2 months, right?
It's sometimes how it happens. And, some idiot thought it'd be convenient to put this virus around the world. So, you know.
Yeah, but we are here. We are recording. So, yeah, once more, thank you so much. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here on your show.
No, not a problem. It's been really exciting. I mean, obviously, I saw the group initially and then this idea of a magazine. And because it's something I'm really into, the printed medium, it was really exciting. I mean, how long have you been building up to get this sorted?
Well, you know, so... Okay, I don't even know where to get started because, all of you listening know, I mean, it's usually the end product, the end idea, or, you know, whatever it might be, a project, it's a result of a process. And this process can be, you know, shorter or longer. In my case, I really would have to go, you know, and go through the entire story of mine to explain. So, you know, some of you might, and your listeners might know, I have been the editor of the Fujilab magazine for a while. It's now, I think, 5-6 years, which is, it's a digital publication for Fujifilm users. Yeah, so users of the Fujifilm X and GFX system. It has been out there for exactly 5 years. Digitally, it's a digital publication. We had an attempt at Fujilab. It was, I guess 2 years ago, where we actually released 4 printed editions of Fujilab Quarterly, 1 year.
Wow.
So, you know, that's where I learned a lot about, you know, printing, publishing, a printed publication, and so on. But then we stopped with this project. Fujifilm community is great. It's strong, but it's still a Fujifilm community. It's a very niche. It's a small community when you compare, you know, to the vast entire photographic landscape, right? So, and printing is an expensive undertaking. So yeah, in layman's terms, it was just getting too expensive to produce a Fujifilm only printed, you know, quarterly publication. The costs were so high. But, you know, so we had to stop this project, sadly enough, because, you know, so many people loved the magazine. And, you know, then I continue and went on with my life, with my projects, my photography, and the Fujilab, of course. But this idea of a beautiful printed publications, you know, of something you can hold in your hands and, you know, enjoy really the photographs, you know, in front of you in a tactile way, it was always there, back of my head, you know, and I knew one day I will try it again. And, you know, yeah, you know, it sounds maybe, it's like a paradox, you know, it's in those most difficult and crazy and strange times these days, you know, with all the lockdowns around the place and so on. I found more time at some point to sit and, you know, grab this idea again and start Frames, you know, printed photography magazine, which is now, of course, not brand related, not genre related. It's all about great photography, you know, coming from all possible different directions and putting it on paper. So we have we just printed, and it's happening in the UK, by the way. We are printing in Bristol.
Okay.
With great, you know, printing shop Taylor Brothers. I don't know, maybe you heard about it. It's there, really, you know. Okay. I couldn't be more happy to have Frames, you know, printed with them.
Yeah.
120 pages, beautiful publication showcasing very different, you know, types of photography, but with a one common denominator, great imagery, thought-provoking, you know. Yeah. It's a pleasure to sit down and enjoy it, you know, and it's 120 pages of great images.
It must be a good feeling that you've waited all this time, finally you've got that paper in front of you.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm actually still waiting, you know, for my copy to arrive.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, it's happening because of the virus again. Yeah. I was not able to fly. I mean, I would be able to fly. I'm based in Switzerland myself. I would be able to fly to the UK, you know, like kind of first-hand, you know, look and enjoy the process of printing. But then the problem was when I would be coming back home, I would have to be quarantining for 2 weeks.
Yes. So,
yeah, everything gets so difficult these days. But, you know, I didn't give up. I went ahead with the project. I believe we will be out of those difficult times sooner than later. And people need something, you know, people need something to keep them inspired, to keep them, you know, thinking about their own photographic ideas. And then once it's getting easier, everything, you know, to go out and create your own work again. That's the core of my, you know, that's the inspiration behind everything I'm doing, actually, inspiring other people through those pages, through those photographs and so on.
That's a really nice sentiment, mate, because I think there's a lot of us that are like this, that we're not just photographers. I probably take less photos than anyone, but I like to think I contribute in other ways and help and inspire people by trying different things.
Absolutely. I would say do exactly the same about what you are doing with Vlogger, right? It's it's an avenue, it's a channel where you present, you know, different people, different approaches to photography, you know. I think that's the way, you know, staying open-minded. Photography is changing a lot, as we know. There are new technologies, you know, coming. There's the whole mobile phone photography, which is, you know, there are also some amazing things happening in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, just staying open to all of it. And there is so many creative people in the world that, this is my fire, then. This is my wood, you know. When I see what people create,
yeah,
with whatever devices, whatever cameras it might be, it's just mind-blowing, and it's beautiful.
I agree. I think we're going away from the world that was a bit more inclusive with photography and photographers, and now it's expanded to art. I mean, one thing I'm doing at the minute, I'm playing with, I'm going to write an article on mobile photography, but it's not what people think. It's not about taking landscapes and stuff. This is an exclusive for everyone listening. So I'm doing comic. So all pictures I've took either on my phone or on film or on digital, and I've converted them into comics. And I've done 3 stories. They're all involving some of the ace people I've worked with. And I did it all on my phone with text, the story, and then I've exported it as a PDF, and I'm going to put that on my website.
That's, yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, this is the whole idea of mixing genres, right? Also, that's an interesting aspect, which we are also touching on in the magazine. So like you are mentioning right now, you know, for mixing photography with, you know, with paintings, with drawings. It's, you have different groups of photographers or you know, photography lovers, let's say, you know, people who accept and embrace this kind of things and people who don't. And it's okay, you know. I am myself somewhere on this entire scale, you know, between, I mean, starting with, you know, let's call it pure photography, you know, so the image coming from the camera, maybe, you know, and then applying some basic adjustments like people always did, you know, with contrast and so on. Then you have the entire scale until somebody who takes the pictures, changes it completely, manipulates in Photoshop, adds different layers, you know, changes the colors, and then you have the final image. And of course, we don't want to go into this discussion on this podcast now because it's huge. But back to frames, we have a section which is called Beyond. So basically, frames concentrates on quote unquote traditional photography. I mean, also in a broader sense, but you know, but it's a photography meaning, you know, images coming from the camera, sure, edited, maybe, you know, depending if they're analog or digital, but still the final image is clearly you know, resembling what we understand as a traditional photograph.
Yeah.
But then we have this section called Beyond, where, and this is a very deliberate, you know, decision, we want to look at what's happening in this whole, you know, photography world, because there are people doing amazing pieces of, you know, artworks, photography based, but not necessarily completely pure, again, quote unquote, right? So mixing media, mixing genres, mixing the ideas. And this is also very, very fascinating to watch, of course, what's happening in there.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, there's some amazing stuff for anyone listening. Honestly, you should join the Facebook group. I got in there at the beginning, and I even got a few recommended thanks from yourself. So yeah, that was great. Mm-hmm. But when you're scrolling through, the one thing I noticed more than anything compared to any other group, there are a vast array of photography images. It's not like you say, just from one side. There's some from one side, the middle, and the total extreme. And it's amazing on the eye.
Yeah, I'm very happy about what's happening in there. You know, it's also, it shows all of us exactly, you know, it opens our minds, you know. With me included, you know, we tend to, you know, live in our bubbles, and it's good, you know, we specialize in something, which is good.
Yes.
You know, let's say me myself, we can touch on this, right? I am also a musician.
Yeah.
I'm a classical pianist, still, you know, practicing this profession as well. And you know, automatically or you know, intuitively, I also went into music photography, right?
Yeah.
So I have been photographing musicians, concerts, you know, musician portraits, rehearsals, and so on for years. And this is something what, of course, excites me, resonates with me, because I feel the subject, right? I'm a musician myself. I love to photograph other musicians, you know, catching those moments when they are losing themselves in music, you know, and emotions and so on. So sure, and I also want to specialize, want to improve this part of my photography, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that looking at a macro photograph, you know, of an insect of a watch, which is an amazing visual experience, will not in turn improve my own photography in completely different field.
Yes.
I think this is the magic, where the magic happens, you know?
Mm.
So yeah, looking at all possible genres and images and then catching those moments of inspiration and applying to our own photography. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a big skill to learn, and you know, thank God the world's changing like that. Because I mean, even I've had issues in groups where people have said, you know, if you're digitally manipulating a film shot, then it's not film anymore. And you just like, you know, look, you're happy in your little bubble. That's fine. But I got more and more of this. But then, like, when I joined your group, you could see people actually appreciated this style, and it became less about the camera and the medium. It was, this is what I've done. This is how hard it was. Can you appreciate that? And God.
Yeah, that's a completely different angle. And yeah, it's for another conversation. Sure. There is a topic to discuss, because yeah, you can also say, of course, I, you know, when people react like this, I also actually understand their point of view,
cool.
Right? So this is completely, this is just different schools, different approaches, different way of thinking about it.
Mm.
And I can understand when somebody says, you know, straight out of camera is straight out of camera, finished, no discussion, anything else, what you apply to this, it's not anymore straight out of camera, right? So, you know, but I think today, you know, I've been also doing it for now, I don't know, 25 years, I guess, you know, when I first grabbed the camera, in my case. So you go through different phases, and but in my personal case, I think I'm opening up, you know. I used to be a purist very much, you know. I did much street photography, with street photography in particular, right? We often tend to accept only the, you know, pure straight out of camera, you know, image. But you know, 25 years is a long time, and yeah, there is so much more than to that, you know. And I still appreciate, and I still really actually respect when somebody decides to stick to those rules, you know, and he exactly or she improves this style of photography of her or of his, this is great. Then yeah. this kind of imagery gets better and better. But especially now as a publisher, you know, I'm looking at different things, and I want to also present exactly to and open people's minds and show them that there's many different ways of doing it all.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you've done that spot on in the group, because you've seen, you know, like you say, anything from insects to street photography and shadows to amazing landscapes. There's fine art, there's portraiture, there's architecture. And everyone's embraced all the different areas. And I think you've handled the critique side well, and I think you've handled the line of it's got to be the photographic medium rather than pure art and then digitizing it sort of thing.
Yeah, in the end, you know, the main part of this entire project is the magazine itself, you know, and I always related all my opinions, you know, comments, approaches. I always imagine the final product, the magazine in somebody's hand.
Okay.
And the idea behind Frames is, after, you know, sitting for an hour and browsing through this 120 pages of different imagery, the person should end up with a wow effect. Like, okay, wow, people are doing amazing stuff in so many different ways. And, you know, after putting this magazine back on the shelf or on the table, I want the person to feel inspired and you know, staying there in awe. You know, like, wow, okay, I feel I want to do something myself now, you know, whatever it is that you enjoy to be doing. But this is this kick which I want to give people through this publication.
No, that's good. I think that's right. And I've seen this in the other magazines, and I'm sure you've seen them out there, like Analog Forever and Silver Grain. I mean, you just open it up and you're like, oh my God, look at this, next page. Oh my God. And I think it helps you drive forward, like you're saying. I think it helps you look at new mediums and new tools and stop thinking that the only thing you've got is a camera. You've got anything you can use.
And if I can, just one more thing, you know, another thing which I'm trying to achieve is, very often, you know, and I have been exactly talking to photographers for at least two decades, you know, in different situations, online, you know, in real life and so on. It happens quite a lot that, and I know it from myself, you probably too, and everybody knows it, that we have those moments or phases when we doubt in our own work, in the quality or in the value of our own work, right? You know, when I look at the photo, let's say, I mean, I'm not into macro photography, right? Suddenly I see a photo of a fly, you know, which is, it's a perfectly, you know, technically perfect photograph, but there is more to this photo. It evokes some kind of emotions in me, like, wow, okay, you know, I look at this fly, I start imagining what's her life, what's going, what's this, you know, it's just like, wow. Then I realize very often, okay, I have never thought that a picture, macro picture of a fly, can impact me in such a emotional way, you know. Then in turn, I realize, after all what I am doing, you know, maybe I'm photographing, you know, cellos, pianos, and violins. And sometimes I think, for God's sake, I mean, who is even interested in this thing? But then I realize, no, I never thought I would be interested in a fly picture, but it touched me. Then I start believing again that there will be people who will react to my photograph of, you know, keys on the piano, of a bow or a cello, you know. It reassures us also in our own endeavors. I mean, that's at least how it works with me, and I'm pretty sure it works with many people the same way. So again, looking at completely different work can reinforce, you know, yourself in your attempts, in your artistic, you know, on your artistic way. I really believe in this.
I do, yeah. And I think COVID's probably helped some of us. I think there'll be some positives where people have maybe not been able to go out, so they're looking online, they're looking at magazines, because we need art at the minute, and film and TV, don't we?
It was definitely a very special, it is still, right? It's a very special time. We all took kind of a break, pause. So we had more time, you know, we are running around less. We had more time to think, you know, to look, to think, to rethink our own approach. And I'm pretty sure, exactly like you say, looking now at photography more probably than usual, or in a slower pace, because we are not in a rush, you know, always on the mobile or somewhere. We had actually time at home to sit down and consume a bit more quietly, right? Everything. Mm. And I'm sure in turn, when this all ends, many, many people will grab the camera, go out and be, you know, and feel stronger again in their own, in their own endeavors. Yeah. So, you know, there's always two sides of the coin, right?
Oh, definitely.
There's also the most important thing, let's stay healthy, everyone. Yeah. Then it's good. So be careful now, but you know, use this time for seeking inspiration, you know, creating new ideas. And then when it's all good again, let's do it again. And it's also a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's been an experimentation. So like I say, this mobile thing's going to be really good. What I did earlier in the summer was something in the dark room. So I'm just going to put this to show Tomáš. So can you see that?
Yeah. Wow. That's something special, some kind of negative work.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. Now, that is actually a colour negative of a model I shot a few years ago. And instead of doing it in the traditional way, I projected the image off my mobile phone through the enlarger straight onto black and white paper.
Wow.
So a positive then became a negative again.
Yeah, you see,
that's the only one I did, and I looked at it and I was like, I love this, it's so different.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see, so you found time, right? Probably before, you know, and maybe it will, maybe it's a beginning of a new series, of a new project or whatever it might be. So interesting how those difficult times also.
It did. And then what I did was more after that. So if you look closely, can you see the skin?
Okay, I see the lines, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the veil?
I know it's pretty tough there. So I've got really bad light at the minute, so Tomáš can't see that well. But yeah, so that's a model, another model shot that's on Kodak Ektar. And then that's a true multiple exposure in the dark room.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Now, this was really tough because one of them is a picture of a building on color negative of a different size, 35mm, and the other one's medium format. So I had to expose what the sheet. I had to then adjust my enlarger for the other size and then project it again and expose it twice.
Wow, you're well way more advanced than I am. You know, I'm still, I kept myself busy, but, you know, I have also ideas and looking forward to this moment where I have more time, you know, to play with some ideas. But it's great, absolutely, you know. And again, the final image, you know, it's all about the final image, you know. In the end, when you or me, you know, or somebody of your listeners, you know, when we look at the image, this is my opinion, my personal opinion, this is the very first reaction, right? It either starts grabbing us, you know, in or not.
Yeah.
If it is, I just like the image or not. I don't care so much if it was, you know, only this camera or combined with this or that, or, you know, or exposed or negative. Okay. If I really get interested and you know, and want to dig deeper, then I do, right? Then I maybe contact the photographer, go to his or her website, and then learning more about the process, it's also a fascinating part.
Yeah, it's
But the very, very first impression, that's what counts the most. Otherwise, I don't do it, right? If I don't react to the image, I don't research anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it has to, doesn't it? That's the whole point of photography.
Yeah. So yeah, once again, yeah, you use this time, everyone, you know, and don't be afraid of crazy ideas. Because we often think, I have an idea, it's crazy, you know. I mean, nobody will be interested in this. Well, try like you did now, and I the first image you showed me, I loved it. It's you know, it's a piece of art, and who cares how it was actually created in the end, right? We as photographers, we tend to, because there is this, exactly this it's either on film or on a sensor, it's this first click, something is saved, right? Something is lighting, saved, and we tend to, okay, I should not be, you know, doing too much of this. Okay, we are really limiting ourselves in this moment, right? Because look at the painters, look at the drawers, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, they take an empty canvas, they create whatever they want using the tools, whatever, you know, it's such a different but I think it's changing these days a little bit, yeah. And this is one of the tasks I'm giving myself to show everyone how open and how different everything can be, right?
I think so, yeah. And I think, like you're saying, because maybe sometimes you are in your niche and your little bubble, that you maybe can't advance as well. So for me, this has been a major step up. So some people might think I've done data room for years. I haven't. I'm just experimenting with different styles and techniques. I mean, I've got a couple of others where I tried combining a building like at the chin level and then merge into the face. And that came out awful. But I tried it and I learned.
Needless to say, I mean, this is, of course, one of the most important things we should be always embracing, our own mistakes. I mean, the most we learn is on failures, on mistakes, you know. The thing is then to, okay, realize this or that, you know, it didn't really work. I mean, I have it all the time. But to realize it, to accept it, but to learn, you know, why and what did not work, right? Then get to the, and then, you know, try again, applying what you learned, and you would be, amazed how much progress you then do, you know. Don't give up. Just go after your dreams, go after your vision, and you will be amazed. And also, you will be amazed about how people will start reacting to it in the end.
Yeah, and I think it's worth trying new areas sometimes. I know I'm a massive fan of shadows and highlights in street photography. Shooting into the light sort of thing. And I know some really talented people over in the UK and the US. And when I look at their work, I'm so jealous that I don't live in a big city and I can't get out every week. So when I do go, I'll take my little mirrorless and I'll play with the idea. Because for me, there's no enjoyment. There's not much enjoyment in digital. So I love the analog cameras. Now, you have to know what you're doing to work an analog camera. So for me, digital is a fantastic way of practicing and learning.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, in my case, I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I mean, so I shoot digital. Uh-huh. This analog experience is still on my, you know, it's my bucket list. It has to happen. I have to do it at some point, you know, I don't have anything special. I have like some kind of old Rolei camera, you know. It's crazy. It's one of the small ones. You will know probably which model it is, you know. You know, my parents, they used to photograph a lot. So it was all analog back those days. So I have seen Praktikas and Nikons and, you know, Pentaxes and all possible, you know, what do you call them? Look from above, right?
Yeah, that's what I
did. So and those cameras are still somewhere there, you know, at my parents' place. So one day, you know, I'm planning to actually transport it to my own place and you know, put some films in, and then I might be calling you up, yeah.
you know,
everything needs its moment and its time, but there is so much to experiment. So yeah. Absolutely.
You see, this is one thing I say to people is digital is fantastic. It's a really good way to learn photography because you've got instant results. It's too expensive to do that in film. You know, it's a stupid way to learn. But for me, film is like digital. I'd say you've got your eyes half shut And then when you move to analog, you'll realize this massive world where you've got small frame, medium frame, large frame, ultra large format. You can change the way your results come out depending on the chemicals you use. You could change it by the lens like you can on digital, and then you can change it by the paper you use. And then you've got other chemicals like palladium.
It's interesting for me on this entire analog process because, okay, first of all, you can, of course, put a different film, right, into your camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, the role of film, right? Mm. This is, of course, a huge difference because, you know, once owning a digital camera, you own this and, okay, you can say you can, you know, in certain cases change some kind of film simulations and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to an analog camera, I say, you can tell me, you will know better than me, you know, how many different kinds of, you know, films in total, you know, are still available today, but I can imagine it's in hundreds, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
The emulsion.
Yeah, there is over 100 still.
So, you know, this is for me a very interesting point. I would, if you can, you know, 1 minute maybe, I can ask you actually a question, like, yeah. how do you go about it? Like, how do you find your film? Let's say you shoot black and white predominantly.
No, I love color.
So how did you know? Did you order all those possible films first and try all of them, or like how did you find, you know, how do you fall in love with one or two particular brands or kinds of emulsions? You call them?
Yeah, emulsion. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a paint, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you have to try. That's the biggest thing, and I think it's really hard as a beginner because you're so excited, you want to try everything, but that doesn't work because you need to, you know, as with digital, you need to shoot your 10,000 photos, so you're gonna have to shoot 3, 4, 5 rolls of the same film with the use a lab, so you'll get consistent results, then you'll know you're happy, and that's what I've done. So I mean, I have to admit, I'm very lucky that I worked with Kodak quite early on, and I got to try a lot of their film. So I used, it's the staple of all the industry, Kodak Portra. It's a fantastic film. Everyone loves it. But the greatest thing is, if you understand the process, then you can get different results from the same film. So you can saturate more by introducing more colour or longer development. And bringing contrast out and colour, or you can shoot a little bit under, and then your tones are a bit more muted. So even with the same film, you know, there's possibilities. But
so it's nothing. It's, you know, because we tend to think or many people think, you know, the digital, the possibilities, you know, are limitless, and you know, you can.
Hmm.
I mean, you go into Photoshop, you have 100,000 different settings you can play with, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, like you just said, with analog, there is the possibilities and options of actually even working with the same film, depending on the settings in the camera, of the development settings, you know, then in the darkroom, and it's also endless.
Oh, it's like a whole new world, and I love when people try film because they'll see that there's so much to learn. Yeah, it's hard. You're going to waste money. Your camera's going to break. You know, film's going to get stuck. You're going to shoot blank frames. You can shoot 36 exposures. You open your camera up, and it's not even moved on one. So just wait.
What is your feeling about this? Because for me, it's always very fascinating. Okay, I get it somehow. You know, I didn't do it enough myself, but I get the excitement and the magic of this all. You know, of analog, till the moment when in today's, you know, day and age, you want to present the photo online, right? So you have to at some point digitize it in the very end of the process, you know, scan it probably, right? Or how is it a tricky moment for you? So you have the final, do you scan negatives or positives?
Negative.
Do you scan a negative, right? Mm-hmm. This translation, so to speak, from analog to digital, it is very last step. Is it very tricky? I mean, you can change completely, I think, still the look of the final negative, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's just the same as putting it in Photoshop.
Then almost we can be talking about a mixed bag kind of thing. It's a analog digital process in there, because in the end you have to scan it digitally, right? And this can completely change. I imagine there is again probably 100 different settings you can apply during the scanning process, right?
Yeah, that's why so, I'd say to use a lab, because they'll have such good equipment that consistency is normal to them. So I've been using the same lab for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I know when I send it off, anything I do was caused by me and the light and the shooting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the final step, this you know, translation, or I don't know what to call it, from the negative to the digital file.
Mm-hmm.
What's your goal? Is your goal to have the exact, you know, in terms of colors, contrast, and everything, exact visual representation of the negative, or you're still doing something to create your own final image during this scanning process?
Yeah, it's a good point, that really. I've not really thought about it. I think it's just, for me, I'm not massive into editing. It's not something I've enjoyed a lot. I'm not very good at. So I would say it's like when you edit, it's minor stuff, contrast, a little bit of color saturation. You know, at the beginning, you tend to oversaturate when you're new to photography, and now it's becoming a bit more, I'm a bit more careful with it, and I might just do a region. But for instance, there's one film called Kodak Ektar. Now, that has fantastic red/orange tint to it. So people say it's a landscape film, great for some stuff. I don't care about that. I'm into messing about and see what happens. So I use it for portraiture. So obviously, you know, you'd have to be careful with skin tones. But that lady that I showed you with the that one, that was
right.
So she's got a bit more of a browned complexion, and she had a red dress. Now the red dress just pops. Because the colours, if you get light, it loves colour. It loves light. And Ektar is amazing for the reds and blues. Whereas like Fuji is great for greens. So what you'll have to do is look at I'll show you two shots. Me and my mate seem to take similar shots. We're nowhere near each other. We just have this same mind. And you'll see there's a difference in what we shoot. And you can see it because he doesn't edit the same as me. And for me, this is the big thing, like you're saying, choosing a film. Think of the subject you're going to shoot and choose an appropriate film.
Yeah, definitely, you know, different processes, you know. Once you have the film in, you know, at least, I don't know, 24 or 36 frames, right? You are stuck to it.
Yeah, well, in medium format, it's 15 max.
Or even 15, right? Or yeah.
12 if you've got a slightly bigger.
No changing film simulations, yeah, between frames, huh?
To be fair, if you have medium format, you can take the back off, which contains the film. So I can choose take the color off, and then I can put black and white on.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So there are ways.
They're
all a bit more expensive than, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? Anyway, yeah, you see, that's it. So, like, you know, back to the magazine, that's in the nutshell, you know, also everything what we just talked about, you know, I want to have it all in there, you know, and present the final results of different people doing different things in photography. We're just the first issue is just going off hot of the press in Bristol.
Cool.
So we are shipping next week. It's a really exciting time. Yeah. So not enough time for photography for myself this last few weeks, but yeah. But that's the moment now.
No, it must be nice to get to that point where you know, your hard work over these last 6-7 months, etc., is finally coming to pay, because, you know, the group's done well. You've got your newsletter, your YouTube, I mean, your podcast. You're really everywhere, and you've embraced every medium, haven't you?
Well, yeah, we're trying, you know, That's interesting also with the social media. Of course, many considerations go into it, and there's so many platforms, you know, there are those main ones we know. Yeah, we are trying, of course, to spread the word now. It's crucial for us, you know, to cover those initial costs. Like I said, printing is it's different than digital. So the cost of this, a physical product in the end, it costs more, and it actually needs more people, you know, more subscribers to the magazine to cover the initial costs of the of printing. And we are going really for highest possible quality, actually.
Yeah.
It will be a feeling of a beautiful photography book, you know, each of those quarterly magazines. I mean, so, you know, yes, of course, we are using different channels to let people know. But the response so far has been really, yeah, very, very nice, and so much support from different circles, you know, photographic circles. And yeah, looking forward. A bit nervous right now when it's, you know, being printed. Yeah, but I hope what will end up in people's hands, I'm convinced, I wanted actually to say, will be a beautiful thing. Yeah, I have very much trust in the Taylor brothers who are printing it.
Yeah.
They have, I guess, 120 years of experience, so it should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, really, really excited right now.
I think you're right. I think the printed medium for photography is just amazing. It's always been a thing for me, you know, and why I've done a little bit of the dark room, because it's the same thing. But when you've got a range of artists and supplemental editorials and things, it's amazing, because I don't think there's enough of it out.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and especially, you know, with the I you know, before even you know, starting with the whole idea of a printed magazine, of course I had many, many conversations. You know, I have to kind of validate my idea, you know, check what's going on in the industry, in all possible circles of people who enjoy photography in one way or another, and so on. So I had many, many conversations, and what struck me really, you know, hard was how the youngest generation of photographers, you know, people often, you know, shooting with the mobile phones and so on, what the reaction was there. Because I had a few conversations, like deliberately, you know, I reached out to people who are into mobile photography, and, you know, of course, into Instagramming, you know, which is the main platform, so to speak, these days. But not only, many of them reacted with almost like hugely surprised about the idea that they could have their image put on paper. they were amazed. They were excited to do it.
Yeah.
So they said, wow, okay, I'm putting all of my images on Instagram all the time, but right, you're right. If I could print it and maybe hang it on my wall, I opened something. It was interesting. The really youngest people lost, you know, touch with paper to some extent, but when you remind them about, or when you introduce it to them, they are amazed. So they were like, oh, this is actually a cool idea. Like, I should do some prints. So like you said, I absolutely believe that, and it's our motto in a way, that excellent photography belongs on paper. It's our motto of Frames. I truly believe in this. And, you know, in this digital age these days, we are all the time on our phones and on the computers and so on. It really feels so refreshing to grab a book or a magazine or a print, right? You will know it. And it's not, it's almost in a physical way also a huge relief for our eyes. But also this photograph, the same photograph which you're looking at the monitor and then maybe in a magazine or on a print, it really gets this another dimension to it. It's much more personal experience with this photograph. You know, you are holding it in your hands, right? It's something magical. So, yeah, apparently many people like the idea. Let's see, you know, how it goes. But, yeah, like I said, the initial response is very, very nice.
No, that's cool. I mean, if you think how amazing you feel with the printed medium, imagine how we feel when we've created it. It's even more amazing. I mean, the process is a bit magical. And I don't want to just talk about film because, you know, I like digital film, but honestly, it is truly amazing when you get something come out of just messing around with a few chemicals and it pops out. It's like, wow.
I had a glimpse into this life when my father was doing it, you know, like 35 years ago. My closest, you know, experience to it is my so I shoot digitally, but I have a, you know, Epson printer,
mm-hmm.
and playing with different kinds of paper and so on. At least, right? Okay, I'm not going to chemicals are there, but you know, this moment when the print of my own photograph is just moving out of the printer, and it's not even close to you know, developing it yourself, and so I can only imagine what kind of excitement is around. Yeah, beautiful stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, obviously, one of the things you talked about was your music. Now, you've been a musician, what is it, twice as long as you have been a photographer?
Yeah, I would say so, yes. Yeah, I started playing the piano when I was 6.
Jesus.
Yeah, I have the piano musician education. I went through all possible schools, you know, with the highest degree here in Switzerland at the College of Music. Yes, and you know, music has been always this music and photography. You know, they became those two what do you call them, pillars of my you know, life, of my artistic endeavor, and they really complement each other, inspire each other. You know, it's very often igniting some new ideas, you know, when, you know, listening to the music creates some photographic, you know, visions in my head, and opposite, you know, looking at images, you know, then I start thinking about music. It's a beautiful, beautiful combination, beautiful, like, you know, world, you know, which was created out of those two passions, you know. So, very happy with what's happening inside me with those two things. Yeah.
No, that's good. I think it's a great yourself. And I think some people can use this music to relax to. So, you know, it's not necessarily their own music. So I can imagine how powerful it must be for, you know, an artist like yourself in two different mediums.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's interesting you mentioned this relaxing part. So I'm a classical pianist, so mm-hmm. my, you know, I'm into classical music myself, you know, playing the classical piano. But this is interesting, sometimes it gets almost too much, of course, and too difficult, because you know, listening, reacting to classical music, you are immediately so much involved, you know, intellectually, emotionally, and so on. It's almost getting too much at some points, you know, you need some rest. But then, for example, I switch very often at home. I mean, I work with classical musicians, but at home very often I listen to jazz.
Okay.
Jazz, it's a different, you know, structure, different way of making music, but it somehow helps me relax more.
Yeah.
So when I need a background, you know, when I need a relaxing music, it often goes jazz direction. The moment it's classical music, I this mode of being a professional classical musician switches on, and it's you know, then it's difficult for me to actually concentrate on something or anything else, you know. So but definitely those two words, it's a crossover kind of, you know, in me with those two fields of interest, of passion, and developed this way through the years.
It's a very nice thing to be, you know, at the grade you are. I mean, obviously, I watched the YouTube and where you're actually playing the track as well. I think it was one of your Fujifilm videos you'd done.
There was one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's lovely, honestly.
Yeah, so the Fujifilm, of course, they realized it quickly, and then we caught on this idea, you know, and tried to create something exactly combining those two things. And yeah, it fascinates me a lot to photograph other musicians, you know, when they are actually performing, because you know, very often I know the pieces myself, for example, so I kind of can predict those moments when they will be emotionally getting involved, you know, get going with the flow of the phrase of the, you know, actual piece. Yeah, this is really fascinating, and that's usually where my best, you know, images happen, because it's like hunting, you know. I'm really waiting for those moments when I know something special will be happening with the musician himself or herself, you know.
Yeah.
In terms, fascinating.
But I think it has to be black and white. I don't know what it is with music and pianos and cellos and stuff, but I think black and white, mood lighting, low key. Oh,
yeah, definitely. I'm also a big sucker for blue, black and white, right? There is something, yeah, timeless, about black and white imagery. Leaves more space for imagination, for, you know, it's less in your face, so to speak.
Yeah.
Having said that, of course, they are amazing photographers creating some color stuff as well. So, but for me, it's also, I'm rather on the black and white side. You know, I always react myself stronger to black and white images and also create black and white images more often myself. Yeah, so definitely. This combination, black and white photographer and classical music. This is my personal, you know, cocktail. Fascinating.
I think it's nice though, because it's like we were saying before recording that we now need the personal side. We've gone away from big corporations in the past, running the industries, and especially in the film world. There's no big companies left, so it's about people building stuff and things like this. So I think it's really nice when, for instance, people like yourself come on and you talk about yourselves and what you do and what your passions are.
This was, yeah, from, you know, for example, with Frames magazine, from the very beginning, also exactly, absolutely my idea, my plan, you know, I wanted to create this magazine with the community, you know. I wanted to have people involved. I wanted to have people published in the magazine, you know. That's why the idea, you know, like, let me, if it's okay, I just give you an example. Yeah, sure. The first issue, which is just being printed. So we have, you know, we have big names like Michael Kenna, Phil Penman in the magazine. So, you know, established photographers with amazing photographers with longer careers, you know, who made it in the industry and for a good reason, right? But the idea behind Frames is to showcase work of those photographers, but, you know, combined in the same edition with people who are just starting, with people who are, you know, already, needless to say, creating very interesting, great work, but maybe don't have yet big names. So, because for me, you know, it's all there. It's all on the same level. It's, if the images speak to me, it can be Michael Kenna, it can be, you know, Joel Meyerowitz, but it can be a John Doe who just started, you know, his journey. But wow, what kind of images he creates for the final viewer, for the reader, when he keeps in, you know, in his hands, doesn't make a huge difference. It's the image, right? It's the image which is just excellent. So. And that's why exactly this connection with the community. You know, we have the Facebook group, we have the newsletter, we have people showing their work, and we are also looking at this work, you know, on a regular basis, and always looking for someone who we would love to, you know, print in the magazine, to publish in the magazine. And I think people appreciate it. Yeah? They feel a part of the Frames community, and now also waiting for the first edition. And I love it. I love this personal connection. I think it's very important, like you say. Also in business, you know, it's in the way, in the end, it's also business. You know, we are creating a product, but it's a product which those people have also put their blood, you know, their emotions, their beliefs into, right? So I'm very happy with what's happening around the magazine itself.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, I have to commend you. You put so much time into the Facebook group. It was one of the things I noticed, and I was thinking, when does he sleep?
I get this question quite a lot, you know. But really, to be honest, maybe for some people's surprise, my average is at 7.5 hours of sleep. I mean, average. It's wrong. It is a minimum. It's my minimum. I sleep at least seven and a half hours, so it's not so bad, you know. Sometimes it's getting up to 8.5. So the day has 24 hours. 24 minus 8, we are at 16. 16 hours is a lot of time.
Yeah.
You mentioned it before. It's just about how you manage this time, you know.
Yeah.
Less Netflix. Yeah, right. Exercising, you know, we have to look after our health and so on. And I also have a family. I think you heard it a bit. Probably your listeners will hear. Mm-hmm. This was my younger daughter. If you heard some noises from the another room. But, you know, still, sleep is actually on somewhere high on my priority list. There has to be enough sleep.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough sleep, few days, you will not be able to function. So I would not be able to do what I'm doing. So it has to be pretty high, very high, if not the highest on the priority list, right?
I'm exactly the same. And I always find this a strange approach by others who barely sleep. And I just think, you know, this goes back to my days of learning time management with uni and kids and stuff that. Sleep was the critical bit because you had a little window, get it in. And even now I still do it. And my technique is relaxing, lasting at night, whether it's listening to comedies or Netflix or whatever, because I chill away from Facebook and stuff. So I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can go, you know, it's maybe there is those moments, you know, when especially with people like us, maybe, you know, creating stuff, working on some projects, and everybody knows it, you know, more or less, that there are moments where you know, for a week or something, we have to push something. It's really much work.
Yeah.
Okay, few nights are short.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it's a no-go strategy because you will not able to sustain this kind of, you know, life physically, just right. And always thinking long-term, staying healthy is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Then I can see myself hopefully still, you know, doing something when I'm 65 and 70 and so on. If I keep sleeping, you know, 4.5 hours for the next 5 years, it can be soon over, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, so, it's totally apart. So you've got this quite unique charging model for the magazine. I thought it was really interesting. Method. I think it's probably something that's happened in other industries. So, like in my industry, IT, Microsoft started this monthly charging model for their products. And I think this subscription model is probably the only one that's ever going to survive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I may, it's just quickly explain exactly that your listeners know. So, Frames is a the core product of the whole platform is the magazine. It's a quarterly magazine, yeah? So 4 times a year, 120 pages, top-notch, you know, beautiful printed publication, which is delivered to your doorsteps. In between those four quarterly editions, we release quite much. Now in November, starting November, will be even more digital, accompanying digital content, which you get access to, you know, as a subscriber. Mm-hmm. As a member of Frames community of the subscription, you know, which is $14 US a month. In this $14 a month, everything is included. So all the printed magazines, quarterly printed books, shipping and handling to any location, wherever you might be, it's already in this price, plus access to all the digital content, this continuous digital content, which is, you know, being released on your subscriber account in between those editions. So we will be just running the first Frames Photography Masterclass. So we 4 times a year, we invite, you know, established great photographers from different genres to talk about their work, about, you know, the thought process behind their photographs, you know, about techniques. 4 times a year, you get access to this. Plus we release 5 accompanying pieces of digital content on the website itself, a big articles, photo analysis, you know, interviews, which often relate, and this is important, they often relate to the content of the printed magazine.
Yeah.
So being a subscriber, you get the book, you get the magazine, you discover maybe a photographer. Next month, very probably there will be something which will be going more in depth on this feature. So maybe an interview with this artist, maybe more imagery of him, maybe a masterclass with him, right?
Mm.
So it's an entire ecosystem which kind of revolves around this printed magazine. And people really kind of love this model, I think, because they get what we talked much about today. They get this printed experience, yeah. You know, But then again, of course, we are living in a digital age, so you get this additional content which you can consume wherever you want, right? You can log in from your mobile phone, you can log in from your tablet device or computer, yeah. and go deeper on this printed, right, content in the magazine. So yeah, that's the model. People are reacting very nicely to this, and the pricing, you know, also people find it fair. There is much in this subscription. There is much, you know, especially considering the printed magazine, which is, I have to really stress it, if I may, once enough. We are talking, because very often the last decade or two, we thought about photography magazines in terms of those, and it's not in a I'm not putting anything in a negative light. It was a different style. And this was magazines you could get in your kiosk, you know, on gear, on reviews, yeah. on, you know. Just to be clear, Frames is not at all about gear. It's not at all about camera reviews. It's about, think about it like as a photography book. Yeah. You have two pages. When you browse through the magazine, you always see two pages. You have two pages open, right? One of them is the image. One entire page is dedicated to a photograph. Mm. And on the corresponding page, this photographer, he or she has a blank page they can use to share their thoughts, which accompany this particular image. You know, it can be two words, it can be a half an essay, you know. This is his or her space. Yeah. So I think we are giving the readers this glimpse into photographers' thoughts, into their minds, you know. And it works really beautifully in tandem. So you are looking at the photograph, then, okay, reading the words and re-looking, you know, at the photograph. And you realize you kind of, you know, start understanding what he or she had in mind, what his process was, and so on. So yeah, that's the entire platform. I think it's a nice all-in-one, how they like to call it sometimes, right? Package. We're very happy. Yeah, the first several hundreds of people already receiving the magazine next week.
That's good.
Yeah, very exciting times.
Well, it's only going to grow, isn't it? It just needs a few people to get involved, and then recommendations, and that's really how it works, I think, in this industry.
Yeah. Like, we're hoping really for creating this space, you know, this corner, another corner of for those who really care about photography. You know, we want people to feel good, feel attached, and first of all, of course, be always exposed to some very inspiring work in the magazine.
I think it's got certainly a shot at doing it, because the only magazines, like you say, are the kiosk ones. I think there's a nice black and white one out there, but then the only other ones I've seen are purposely analog, and then there's a street photography one, but there's very little that encompasses all. So
this was the idea, you know. There are a few excellent magazines, no questions about it. Many print magazines went out of business, but for different reasons, I would say. That's also why I decided, you know, they were often parts of bigger publishing corporations. You know, photography is always you know, when you compare it probably with I don't know, with food magazine or fashion or, you know, or electronics, it's always a small niche, right? So I can imagine those big publishing corporation, big publishing houses, you know, at some point the decisions has to be made, right? If it's not bringing the revenue, if it's, you know, if it's actually, you know, this part of the their company is actually in a way losing money, you know, they have to go, right? Yeah. I heard that's why some of them went out of, you know, are not there available anymore. That's why, you know, what we are doing is basically self-publishing in some way. It's not self-publishing, it's independent publishing, right?
Yeah.
So we are not dependent on any big corporation. We keep our costs also lower, still being able to produce the highest quality, because there is no this overcharge, over cost, you know, on top of everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's the way to go. And it also makes the community feeling much more intimate, much more personal.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And people, seem to be also exactly responding very nicely to this intimate community around the magazine.
Yeah, because I think it feels like you get involved. In the old days of buying a magazine, it was, this is what's in your face, and that was it. Now this is so different. Into, I mean, you know, you chat on Facebook, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's our way of thinking about those things, yeah, these days, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I wish you all the success. I think the opportunity is there. You've got the talented people. You've got talented people behind the scenes. So got my fingers crossed for you, mate.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And yeah, thank you so much once more for the invitation, for the podcast. Nice talking to your listeners. Would be interesting for me to know where your listeners, you know, are sitting all around the world.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating with the online world, you know.
Oh,
we talk to so many people in different locations. This is the beautiful thing, of course, about about the digital age. This is, you know, it allows us to make those connections way easier, right? It's that's great. Yeah. No. So thank you once more. Was a pleasure, honor to be on your show.
No.
Thank you so
much. Great. What I like to do is just remind everybody. Where they can check out the magazine. So if you want to go ahead.
So basically our website is readframes.com, and then, you know, very quickly you will find out in the main menu, you know, the links to the magazine, you know, it, the description of the publication. Yeah, readframes.com, it's the place to go.
Thank you for that. I'll obviously put links in the show notes for you. And then my last question is, I do this pay it forward scheme. Is there anyone, artist, photographer, that you really like and think would make a really interesting guest on the show?
Oh, well, yeah.
From the trillions.
Yes, you guys, you know, for a podcast, you have these tough questions in the end, right? Like Ibarionex on his show. And because I just told you there is so many amazing people. Let me think for a while, and we have to probably cut it out later, maybe here a little bit, because I was not prepared for this question on your show.
No, that's fine.
Would you like a someone, you know, very well known, or rather someone you would like to discover more about?
I'm into anyone. So I'm not here.
I think, and I have one name. I don't know if you're familiar. I think he's based in UK as well.
Mm-hmm.
He is now a member of the Frames community. Amazing landscape photographer, Robert Clark.
No, okay.
You will find him easily. He's really, presenting some great stuff in our, you know, in the Frames community.
Mm-hmm.
So Robert Clark, okay. Have a look at his work. Wonderful landscape photographer, you know. Mm. Very tasteful work, still in this traditional sense, but exactly not oversaturated, not applying any crazy, you know, HDR techniques and so on.
Right, okay.
Very classic, very beautiful images. Have a look. Robert Clark, I think, would be also a very interesting conversation, because he seems like a guy who has really much to say about his work and photography in general.
No, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for that. So thank you for coming on the show and telling us all about the magazine. I can't wait to see it. So
thank you so much. Yeah, thank you once more, Andrew. And yeah, have a great day.
Yeah, you.